everybody. This is Jim Cornette, pro wrestling legend, and you're listening to the Book in the Territory Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast.
Welcome back, everyone, for this week's episode of our Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast. This is Smoky Mountain Wrestling, episode number 90, October the 16th, 1993. We are still in Jellicoe High School. We're on our back-to-back day, so this is our second episode recording this today to give you a little peek behind the scenes. Doc, how you doing this morning, man? You ready to get through episode 90?
Man, last week I was hungover. I'm still hungover. This hungover's lasted a whole week. Yeah, I'm fucked.
You're a fucking sap. Harper, how you doing, man? You good?
I'm doing great, sir. How are you?
I'm good. Let me remind everyone, if you want to get the demographics for where we're at, go back and listen to the beginning of last week's episode, because Doc covers it all, and I don't think we're doing any demographics on this particular week. So with all that said, again, we're in Jellicoe. Bob Caudle is back, Doc.
Yeah.
So he is not gone. I know someone tweeted me when they first got to the episode where he was gone, and they were like, is Bob Caudle gone for good? I'm like, nah, don't stress over it. He will be back. He's on the way back. So he is back. Thank God we get Bob Caudle. It's really nice to hear from Bob. But with all that said, I normally don't play the actual opening of the show, but I think this week I want to play it because of Bob and what goes down at the very opening. So here that is.
Another exciting action-packed hour of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Professional wrestling the way it used to be and the way you like it. Hi, wrestling fans. I'm Bob Caudle right here along with Dr. Dirty Dutch Mantel. And have we got a great hour in store for all you wrestling fans this week. Dutch, it's a little bit different this week. We're going to go back and look at a special parade of champions. We're going to recap that today. We're going to see highlights of the Bobby Blaze Chris Candido match, the Dirty White Boy against Tim Horner, the Steiners against the Heavenly Bodies. We'll have some action from that. The Bullet against Killer Kyle. The Rock and Roll Express are going to take on the Armstrongs, the Dirty White Boy, and more right here. And Smoky Mountain Wrestling has announced the dates also for this year's second annual Thanksgiving Thunder Tour. Fans, that's going to be November 25th, 26th, 27th, and 28th in Hazard, Kentucky, Knoxville, Barberville, and Johnson City. Also, Dutch, we're going to hear from Jim Cornette.
Wait a minute, Caudle. You flipped your poorly fitted wig if you think I'm going to let you sit out here and tell everybody what's going on. I'm here to cast pearls before swine right now and let the world know what's going on in Smoky Mountain Wrestling, seeing as how I'm the man that's going to change it. I'm bringing in the Egyptian prince. I've returned from the University of Cairo, and I have a man who stands 7 feet tall, 350 pounds. He's a Renaissance man. He's going to change everything here.
Dutch? Who is this?
You haven't met Mr. Van Horn?
No, I have not.
Well,
I
Bob, while you were gone, Mr. Van Horn made his presence known here, and I think you should talk to him. I think you'd like him.
You think I will?
Yes, I know.
Well, if you like him, I don't think I will, Dutch. Fans, don't go away. We're going to be back right after this.
I need to try to articulate Bob Caudle looking at Van Horn like, what in the fuck is this guy? Not who, but what am I dealing with here? Harper, do you have any comments on just Bob Caudle's look of disgust?
I'm glad to see him back. Yeah.
Yes, I am too. But when Van Horn interrupts him, he's like, who's this idiot?
Yeah.
He's like, Get this fucking turd out of here.
Yeah. Who's this guy fucking? He's interrupting me. Fuck you, dude. Where'd you come from?
Okay. Doc, thoughts on Bob Caudle's first interaction with Daryl Van Horn?
It's like he stepped in some, like a pile of shit and was just disgusted about it.
I agree.
Thanksgiving Thunder's up. It's always something in this promotion. I can't keep up, man. They've always got something running. You got to hustle if you're going to be a territory.
Yeah, even though they didn't do 12 pay-per-views a year, doesn't it seem like something's always up?
Like, always.
Seriously, something's always up. There's some type of big event coming, and Thanksgiving Thunder is coming up. I mean, 6 weeks away at this point, which is crazy because it feels like we just did Thanksgiving Thunder 92.
Fuck.
Thanksgiving Thunder 92 was insane. That's when the Rock and Roll Express and the Heavenly Bodies flipped the fucking tag titles like five different times over 5 days or 4 days. It was pretty insane shit. All right. Well, so they go to quick commercial, and then they come back, and it's Van Horn, Dutch, and Cottle, and they're about to throw us to Bobby Blaze versus Chris Candido. I don't have a note why I don't have why I'm supposed to play this, but evidently I'm noted to myself, play Van Horn interrupting Bob Cottle right here. So I'm going to play it, not having a clue what I said that for. Here it is.
...in the river if he wanted, but he didn't have it long enough.
Wait a minute, Cottle, wait a minute. We have a visitor with us today, and I see you haven't changed a bit. Mr. Van Horn, let me ask you, what do you think of Bobby Blaze?
Well, I like Bobby Blaze, but then again, I like leukemia. No, actually, the thing is this. The man's an idiot. He's so stupid, he went to Las Vegas and stood in front of the roulette wheel trying to buy a vowel all night. He's a clown.
Fans, let's watch it right here.
Okay.
Bobby, you don't have to put up with that, Bobby. Come on.
Yeah, come Bobby. On, Bobby. Say it up Bobby. For yourself.
Bobby, if you're listening to this and remember Van Horn, I want you to tweet me and tell me what you remembered about this and Van Horn coming in. Maybe Bobby and I need to do some behind-the-scenes stuff talking about Van Horn and Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Damn, that's fucked up. He said Bobby stood in front of the roulette wheel trying to figure out how to buy a vowel. That's stiff, dude. That's stiff.
But liking leukemia wasn't?
That yeah. was stiff, too. Yeah. So, again, they were throwing us to the match. It's Candido versus Bobby Blaze for the U.S. Junior Heavyweight title. So, just so y'all know, they recap three different matches here. So, it's not like just one match. And, I mean, they basically hot potatoed this belt is what they did over the course of those days that they competed against each other. So, Doc, I'll throw it to you. Let me know your thoughts. I mean, they basically flip-flopped. They went, Bobby won the belt on the 8th. Chris won the belt on October the 9th. Bobby won the belt back on October the 10th. What did you have from all of this?
I had notes for each match.
Did you? Okay, well, go ahead. Feel free to...
Well, please. In part one, I was annoyed because the lighting kept going on and off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we have Phil Rainey on commentary here, and he wasn't very good.
Rainey is not good on commentary. Remember what Cornette said about Phil Rainey? Why they had him around?
Why?
He knew people at the TV stations?
Yeah, I seem to remember Corny saying that on like a drive-thru or the Jim Cornette Experience. And while they thought he had some connections, the connections never materialized.
Mm.
I think I remember him saying that
on
the
We call that shows. Pulling a Horner.
Yeah.
Okay. Keep going, Doc.
And then at the end, Bobby, I can't remember what it was, but I had a note that Bobby had a nice move to get to the win.
Which one? There was three matches. First
part one. We're still okay. Part one. Part two, we now have the recently deceased Brian Matthews on play-by-play.
Recently deceased?
Well, in the last couple of years.
Okay. Go ahead.
Dude, somewhere, you know, they're cutting around, so I don't know how deep in this is, but Candido did a wild-ass move to the railing during this one. These guys were getting after it in a way that most Southern wrestling fans have not seen, I would assume.
Definitely.
Part two seemed more like part two looked more like a 95 undercard ECW match than it did a 93 Smoky Mountain match to me. And I say that as a compliment. Because ECW didn't have just garbage cans and shit all the time. That's where, remember Mysterio and Psychosis fought there.
God, that was a fucking, that was incredible when they fought
there. Right.
Yeah.
So part three, we now have Chip Kessler on commentary. Chip, somebody you want to keep an eye on because he's going to be a bigger player in the promotion as we go forward.
Yeah.
Bobby gets it back here. He's presenting himself really well as somebody who's now made that transition from who's that guy or enhancement talent up to he belongs at this level, which is, I would suggest, you know, probably the mid card of the promotion. Maybe upper mid-card, but mid-card.
Mm-hmm.
And my last note was, this may not be hot-shotting the title, but it's definitely warm-shotting the title.
Jeez. No, it's called hot potato in the title. They just hot-potatoed it.
Yeah, I don't mean, mind
like,
that.
I'd like to potato you.
Yeah, well, right in the butt.
That's nice.
What? No.
That's classic. That's nice. Harper, what did you think about the whole? You said you didn't mind hot potato, and go ahead.
Yeah, I didn't mind it because it's they did it in front of a new audience, so they got to see that title change hands.
Right.
So it's kind of a big deal for them.
And it's not the heavyweight strap.
Right. Exactly.
Well, so what they did was Candido had won it prior to, if you remember. Bobby had the belt at the last TV taping. Remember? He promoed with the belt.
Right.
So I don't have a note of when it would have happened, but so evidently though, Bobby lost the belt to Candido because the first match they show, Bobby is winning the belt back from Candido. That was the first. That was October 8th in Knoxville. That was the first match they show there. Bobby pins Chris. He wins it back. There was 1,100 people in Knoxville, by the way, for the Parade of Champions. October 9th, Chris pins Bobby to win the belt back. That's in Barberville, a little over 1,000 people at that one. And then the last one is Johnson City, Tennessee, Freedom Hall, drew 969 people, according to my records. And Bobby Blaze pinned Chris Candido to win the title back. So I agree with Harper. They hot potatoed it, but you know, each crowd got to see a title change, and
yeah,
and it ends up back in Bobby's possession.
Yes,
was the thing.
Mm-hmm.
So the babyface possession. So I liked it. And then there's more to come, obviously, on this. The last thing that they say is, so Bobby wins it back on the last Parade of Champions show, October 10th. Guess what? Then Cottle tells us, as a result of all of this, next week we'll see a match between Bobby and Chris for the U.S. Junior title. So there you have it. Doc, any other thoughts before we move on?
No, I thoroughly enjoyed this.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was good, too. Harper, you?
Yeah.
And, I mean, like, anything else?
No. Oh, yeah, like let's go. Let's move on, Michael.
Okay.
Jesus, do you need a script, son? He told you he's done. What else do you want him to do?
Do we need to hear Tracy Smothers again in his local promo? I think it's...
I thought this was a really good one.
With the black jacket on?
No.
No?
He's got that fucking Confederate one on again.
Oh. Right.
It's the same damn promo, Doc.
No, it's not.
Okay. Local promo, Tracy Smothers, followed by the Rock and Roll. Here it is.
Heavyweight title, the wild-eyed Southern boy, Tracy Smothers, against primetime Brian Lee with his manager, Tammy Fitch.
Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. Got to say hello to my man, Hollywood Hippie, and my boy, Gary. Now, if you're coming to Pigeon Forge Saturday night's a good night to fight. Hey, Tammy Witch with a capital B. It's close to Halloween there, October 23rd. You don't need no costume because you are a tramp. A nothing happening hussy. Brian Lee, you're a backstabbing, no good, two-faced punk. And I'm going to teach you some respect about this sport and the people in it. Saturday night, you want to see two people that don't like each other, you come to October 23rd to Pigeon Forge, because I'm going to whoop you like you stole something, the Smoky Mountain heavyweight title, which I plan to get back from you. I'll see you. Wouldn't want to be you.
Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, Saturday, October 23rd. Watch out, it's a four-team elimination match for $5,000. It's the Rock and Roll Express, the Bruise Brothers, also the Armstrongs and the Heavenly Bodies all going at it.
You know, it seems like we all got friends down there in Pigeon Forge. Like to say, had a Rob down there at Rainbow Helicopter. Come on down and see Rock and Roll. We're going to take care of some business.
Well, you know, $5,000 to the winner of a four-team elimination. But you see,
it's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money, Robert, but one thing I want to do is get my hands on you, Jimmy Cornette.
Yes.
Throughout the years, you brought many tag teams out on Midnight Express, and you chased them all up, but now you get the best tag team you've ever had, Tom Pritchard and Jimmy Del Rey. Well, the people down at Pigeon Forge know what to expect, Jimmy Cornette, because we're stepping that ring. Maybe we're going after $5,000, but when it's all over with, we're going after you, Jimmy Cornette. I told you, brother, I will follow you anywhere to get my hands on you, and it's not going to stop, baby. Wait till we get to Pigeon Forge, because I'm telling you, rock and roll is here to stay.
It's going to be sooner than later.
Man, I couldn't tell what Gibson was looking at.
Come on.
That's nice.
The Eye of Gibson on Twitter. At the Eye of Gibson. Okay. Doc, you want me to play it?
Hollywood Hippie and my boy Derek.
Well, you got to explain what he had on besides the Confederate jacket.
Well, which one of those two is holding the sack of weed for Tracy?
Allegedly, I'm not going there with you.
Allegedly.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. Sounds like you. Man, why don't you?
They're just. I mean, this reminded me. Both of them reminded me of that Sam Houston promo where they were going to the Central States to throw down, if you will.
Throw down, yeah. And they were giggling and shit about it. What else, Doc?
Gibson was a little more into it than he usually is. He's got Rob over at Rainbow Helicopter getting him. Dude, what? This is just different and funny. Yeah. They were cracking me up because it was like, I felt like what this was is them going out there and cutting a practice one for audio and then just sending in the wrong one to Corny. And Corny's like, what the fuck? And then goes, we don't have time to do another one. Let's just use these.
I felt like it was nothing but a big commercial.
Yeah.
Because they're mentioning these names of people. Yeah. Harper, do you have anything from it?
I got a feeling the Hollywood hippie's probably dead.
How could he not be?
Yeah. Wow. I mean, come on.
Do the math.
I guess.
If he's not, you got to book him on the fucking show.
Anybody out there know who the Hollywood hippie is? Get with me. Get with me.
And now I got a feeling a fucking parody account's going to pop up, the Hollywood hippie.
These parody accounts, for the most part, are a beating because they last for like 2 weeks.
You got a good point there, Doc, because the only ones like, well, I have Gibson, Fake Stan Lane, Mullet of Morton. Those guys have been around. Denim Fritz, well, he's called Old Man Denim now. Those guys have been around for a long time. They've got longevity. Some of the others, they don't make it past 2-3 months, and then they disappear.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there was a Tracy Smothers at one. Well, there still is. It's just the guy doesn't tweet anymore. Whoever it is doesn't tweet anymore. There's a Smothers one. There's a Robert Fuller. I kind of understand the Robert Fuller one. There's a Buddy Landell one, but that one kind of makes sense, too, because Buddy disappeared. The Buddy Landell one disappeared when Buddy disappeared from the promotion. But there's like a Dirty White Boy one out there that's laying dormant. So, you know, they come and go, it seems. Yeah, I agree, Doc. They come and go. But again, Morton, Gibson, and Fake Stan Lane—they have longevity. Those dudes.
I'm not speaking to them.
Yeah, they're always tweeting. Always.
I wonder if this has something to do with Dollywood.
What? Hollywood hippie?
Yeah, because Pigeon Forge is where Dollywood is.
Right.
I mean, are you asking or are you just talking? Because you know I ain't got a fucking clue.
Do you know who Dolly Parton is?
If I could grab you through this headset right now, I would choke you.
You wouldn't do a damn thing. I'd slip the sugar Dolly on you Parton in under 20 is. Seconds.
I know who Dolly fucking Parton is, you dumbass.
All right. Okay. Whatever, dude.
Let's keep going. The next up is Dirty White Boy versus Tim Horner. On the line in this one is the number one contendership for the Smoky Mountain Wrestling title. At least that's what they say. Which is weird because White Boy's already kind of feuding with primetime Brian Lee, but whatever. Don't let that fuck with your head. Dirty White Boy wins when he grabs a handful of tights. Doc, you had any long notes on this one?
With no angle and just wrestling, I'm okay with these two at the big show. It's okay. Brian Matthews referenced Jushin Liger on commentary. I wonder if anybody was like, what the shit is that?
Yeah,
and in a move that no one asked for, Horner's ass got shown on TV when the tights got pulled.
Remember when Bobby's ass got shown on TV?
His fucking colon fell out.
That's nice.
Wow. That's
I think Bobby liked showing his ass on TV. He didn't like rush to pick up his tights or anything. He was like, "Oh, this feels good. Catch a little breeze.
A little fan tickle, coming through.
Tickles my prostate."
Wow. Harper, anything from this match?
No, it's just, I forgot which one this was, because I was like, damn, a fucking another recap fucking show.
It was real quick. Well, kind of.
Yeah.
Dirty White Boy beats Horner. They don't show you the whole match. So.
Oh, yeah. I remember this one. I was like, fuck this shit again, man. It's like, fuck Tim Horner.
Well, after that match, White Boy does cut a promo, and let's listen to what White Boy's got to say.
Hey fans, that match between the Dirty White Boy and number one contender for the heavyweight championship, White Lightning Tim Horner. All right, after that win, what does that do to the ranking of the White Boy?
Well, what that does to the ranking for the White Boy is that makes me the number one contender for the Smoky Mountain heavyweight title. And, you know, I don't like Primetime Brian Lee and Miss Tammy Fetch. I don't like her either, so I guess what I'm going to have to do is just beat Brian Lee, take the title back, run him out of town, and that way I can get my manager Ron Wright back.
What about Tracy Smothers now, White Boy? You know, he doesn't like Primetime Brian Lee. You don't like Primetime Brian Lee. Does that mean something going between you and Tracy Smothers?
That means absolutely nothing. We have nothing in common as far as Tracy Smothers is concerned. He's just somebody else standing in my way after the Smoky Mountain heavyweight title. And if my poor old sweet mama was standing between me and Primetime Brian Lee, I'd have to backhand her. Brian Lee, I'm coming after that heavyweight title, and I'm coming to get my manager back. Bottom line.
All right, fans, that's the story right there from the Dirty White Boy. We'll be back right after this.
All right, I take back what I said a second ago, actually. White Boy, it kind of makes sense if you think about it, because Tracy has been feuding with Primetime Brian Lee too. And yeah, while Dirty White Boy is kind of feuding with them, it's more over the manager at this point as they play tug of war with poor old Ron Wright. It's not the Smoky Mountain title, but now it is becoming that. So, Harper, what'd you have from this?
He's a heel. If you ever think he's going to go face, he sounded like he was a heel there. He'll smack his own mama in the face to get that belt.
Yeah, he's still, I mean, and he's kind of walking a line too, in my opinion. But he, I mean, because he wants his manager back. But yeah, he's still a heel. He doesn't have any friends. That's you know, besides Ron Wright, who he wants back. Doc, what'd you have from it?
Why's he still wearing that New York Yankees shirt?
Yeah, I was wondering the same thing. I guess it's still going to milk that shit.
I mean, if that's one of those starter jerseys, that some bitch was like $50 fucking dollars back in the day. That's a
because
lot.
Because I noticed at least.
Yeah, shit. At least.
I mean, I don't. Hold on.
Because I noticed he's like wearing some kind of Harley Davidson baseball cap.
I saw that.
And he's starting to get back to being the Dirty White Boy of
living in a bus.
Right. Yeah, living in a bus and being a you know, some kind of white trash redneck.
Maybe that's a slow transition with that hat, right?
Yeah, right.
So let's assume that a starter jersey cost $60 back in 93. That's $102 in today's money. So he's wearing a fucking $100 shirt right there. It's real classy of him. So yeah, I'd still be wearing that sumbitch too if I spent $100 on gear. All right, we'll keep going. There is a, well, again, I got a note to play Van Horn here. It's like 30 seconds. Let me see what the hell he says, because I have no clue what it is. Here it is.
Well, fans, the feud between Tracy Smothers and Primetime Brian Lee continued with a Smoky Mountain title on the line. Now, Tracy even brought sensational Sherry Martel to counteract the interference of Tammy Fitch. But the champion and his controversial manager displayed what could be either brains or luck.
It doesn't matter if it's brains or luck, because Brian Lee is a great champion, but he will have to fall like everybody else when my Egyptian prince gets here. However, because I'm a good man, a kind man, a Judeo man, we might spare a few of the chosen ones for handmaidens and manservants.
Ooh, fans, let's watch the action.
What the fuck?
Well, I think you probably...
Doc, anything from that before I play this next soundbite from Sherry Martel?
No.
Harper, you?
No.
All right, so they throw us to Smothers with Sherry Martel versus Primetime Brian Lee with Tammy Fitch. I'm going to play the opening of this with Phil Rainey and then Sherry grabbing the microphone. Here it is.
Probably missed the announcement earlier when Tammy Fitch said...
Oh.
Well, watch out right there. We'll put the bleep on that one. Sherry Martel just told First Lady of Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
Did y'all catch her saying, "Let me tell you something, you little bitch"?
And they didn't, yeah, and they didn't bleep it out like you said they were.
Great. I like that.
Yeah.
Doc, any thoughts on Sherry right here?
I fear for Tammy's safety.
So let's just jump. Let me jump to the end, and I got something I got to say before y'all chime in. Tammy, you get to the end, and Tammy jumps on the ring apron and throws her purse to Primetime Brian Lee. But Sherry jumps on the ring apron also and attacks Tammy. Now, you all may not remember this, but I found this in doing some research for this show, and I posted this for the patrons. I did a recap of the Jim Ross podcast with Tammy from a few years ago. And in that podcast for the patrons, Tammy claimed on JR's show that Sherry was not supposed to make contact with her, and that when she did make contact with her, Sherry scared Tammy to death. She grabbed her and she started whooping her ass. So again, that's up for the patrons. I clipped the soundbite of Tammy describing it, but Tammy said she was scared for her life when that happened. So again, it's tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. You can sign up, get access there. Doc, before we go, I guess, say anything else, thoughts on, I guess, Tammy getting attacked by Sherry?
I think, okay, so being a manager is harder than it looks, correct, Harper?
Yes.
Because, first of all, it's kind of like being the lead singer during a guitar solo. What are you going to do? Like, how do you add things to things? You know, how do you add without distracting, right?
Right.
So the thing that stood out to me in the match part of this is what great timing Sonny has, or Tammy, to just be for a rookie and a rookie manager. She's in the right place at the right time doing the right thing every time.
Yeah.
And I would assume that that's very difficult to get down, and especially if you're a 19-year-old girl who's never done this before.
She's a savant. She just had it, man. She knew what she was doing, dude.
She's in the right place to make sure that she's tripping Smothers and doing all the stuff, and still she's got to be moving and mindful of Sherry. There's a lot of moving parts for this.
Yeah.
Really good stuff. I thought Smothers has incredible fire for this crowd. Like, he can fire them up with the hand gestures and the getting it going. I thought Primetime Brian Lee was good in this match. I thought this was really well done all the way around.
Yeah, I didn't go over to close. Let me do it real quick. So, like I said, Sherry grabs Tammy on the apron and starts beating the piss out of her. Go ahead, Harper.
Well, she had to get her hands on her. There got to be a payoff, right?
According to Tammy, Sherry was not supposed to touch her.
Yeah, right.
Hey, for it to be a work, only one person has to be in on it, right?
Yeah.
Very true. That's very true. So,
hey, Tammy, she won't touch you. I promise.
Well, and Tammy
All right, Sherry, get you some.
Tammy also said that when they were preparing for this match in the back, Tammy claims Sherry wouldn't talk to her.
Yeah.
Which, I kind of believe that. But, again, Tammy claims Sherry wasn't supposed to touch her. So when Sherry grabs her and starts whooping on her, you can kind of look at Tammy and either she's selling real good or she's in fucking shock. She's like, oh, shit, I've never been in a fight before. What do I do? This woman is beating on me, and I'm scared for my life right now. So while all that's going on, Tracy kicks Primetime Brian Lee. Remember, Primetime Brian Lee had the purse because Tammy threw it to him. Primetime Brian Lee loses the purse, but he has something else in his hand. Smothers puts Primetime in a sleeper, but Primetime hits Smothers in the head a few times to free himself with whatever he had in his hand. Then with Smothers stunned, Primetime Brian Lee rolls him up and wins as Sherry can't stop it because she's too distracted, whooping up on Tammy out there. At the end of it, all of that, Sherry gets in the ring and attacks Brian Lee. And then Smothers gets him some of Primetime Brian Lee, too. Sherry and Smothers clear the ring, even though Smothers loses and doesn't win the belt. Harper, do you have anything else from how it all ended?
Be honest, I was kind of curious if who was going to walk away with the title. But I guess they want to keep it because with the whole dirty white boy thing, it adds to it. And, I mean, Sherry had to get her shit in at the end to send them home happy.
Yeah. Definitely.
I think she should have kicked them in the nuts more than punched them, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Doc, anything else from you?
No, I think Tammy should consider herself lucky. That's all that happened.
Well, in the end, Primetime Brian Lee, even though he got he gets a little bit at the end from them too, he still walks away with the title, which leads us into this next poor promo with poor old Ron Wright. Here it is.
Well, fans, as you saw, Tracy's mother's not very happy about the fact that Primetime Brian Lee is still the Smoky Mountain Heavyweight Champion. But Brian, the Dirty White Boy, says that he has earned the shot at that title.
Dirty White Boy says he's earned a shot at the title. I'm the one that says you get a shot at the title, Dirty White Boy. You're just like Tracy Smothers. You ought to be picking tobacco and riding a tractor somewhere and get out of professional wrestling. And I tell you what, maybe one day if I have 5 or 10 minutes, I might give you a shot. But right now, I have bigger fish to fry.
What about it, Miss Fitch?
Look at the new dress Ronnie bought me. Isn't it beautiful? He's showing his gratitude because we're taking such good care of him. We brought him into our home. We're feeding him. We're clothing him because the Dirty White Boy just couldn't do the job. And he bought me this dress. He bought me this Rolex. And we put that away. And last night, I was sitting on Tiger's lap, and he told me he's just about to call the lawyer and sign those adoption papers so I can become part of the family.
That's going to be so nice, having Miss Fitch as one of my own daughters in my own family. I'm going to really be looking forward to this.
Tammy's, he gonna sign the will too?
Just shut up. We'll talk about that later. Tiger, it's time for your next dose of medicine. Let's go.
Vince, whew, we'll be right back.
Bob Caudle is witnessing the act of an old man being drugged in front of his face.
This is a crime.
This is terrible what they're doing.
Oh, come on, man. Get over it.
Get over it. Okay. Doc, go ahead. Keep going.
This is a crime. Dude,
really, huh?
Credit cards and Rolexes and dresses and Ronnie, and just can't help thinking that somewhere Dirty White Boy is sitting alone, sad. Just sad. Oh, I'm sad.
Dude, when fucking he pulls out that credit card, like, ah, ha, 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 ha.
And you know he did it. You can see the strip, so he did it in the back so somebody couldn't get a screenshot of it and blow it up and steal the credit card number.
Well, I don't know, Doc. Back then, they were still pulling out that fucking metal machine. And
yeah, kokosh.
They're probably still doing that in Tennessee these days.
That's true,
2018.
Too. Back then, you had
hey,
to
you want your,
have it.
Hey, you want your carbon copy?
God, remember that?
Back then when you used a credit card to buy something. Holy shit. God, how much we've progressed. This is a crime. Primetime is flashing Ron's credit card. Poor Ron. He's fucking drugged, dude. He's drugged. Because if you think about it, psychologically, if you thought about this and watched it, you know how Ron used to always be aggressive and talking about whooping somebody in promos? Now he's just sedated. He's pilled up on Halcyons and Somas. He's just floating. He's just like old, jolly old man because he's fucking drugged out there, man. This is terrible what they're doing to him. Damn. Bad.
I know,
just very bad. Anything else before we move on, Harper?
Poor old bastard. They're fucking taking advantage of this old man.
Fucking assholes.
Yeah.
Okay, we keep going. We got Daryl Van Horn, Bullet Bob, and Dutch. Bullet Bob, what the fuck am I saying? Daryl Van Horn and what the hell is his name? Dutch throw us to Bullet versus Killer Kyle. Remember, the stipulation here is if Bullet loses, the Bullet will have to unmask, and thus, according to Jim Cornette, we will find out if the Bullet is indeed Bob Armstrong. Now, we only see about 2 minutes of this match. The finish is when Bullet Bob rolls up Killer Kyle and gets a three count. But after that, so the Bullet wins, but after the match, Cornette gets involved. Bullet fights Cornette and Kyle off until Cornette throws powder in Bullet's eyes. From there, Kyle and Cornette double team Bullet. Kyle rips off Bullet's mask, but Bullet covers his face while he's down. Rock and Roll Express come out to save the Bullet. The key thing here is, although Bullet's mask was ripped off at the end, and he did win, His face is covered. You can't see it. The Rock and Roll Express even throw a towel over his head so you won't be able to tell he's Bullet Bob. Bullet wins, but again, they ripped the mask off. So the stipulation, again, was Bullet had to lose to be officially be unmasked. Unfortunately, he didn't officially lose. So while he was unmasked, we're still kind of in limbo, and Bullet can put the mask back on, and we still don't know if he's Bob Armstrong or not. But anyway, Doc, anything from all of that that went down there in the quick 2-minute clip that we saw?
I thought it was pretty predictable. Kyle looks like a giant standing next to Bullet, and I always loved the powder.
Powder in wrestling is always a good thing. And Ether. Ether's good, yeah. Too. What did you have from it, Harper?
The powder's back.
We always use powder. Harper, have you used powder before?
No.
Jesus Christ.
Patrol has.
Okay. I was about to say, can Luke take the governor off of you down there? I mean, fuck, man.
The governor?
Yeah. Like, I mean, Jesus Christ, dude, you can't ether anybody. You're not powdering anybody.
I don't need powder.
What services do you provide, dude?
Exactly.
How do you help your men?
Right.
I got Kojak with me.
Do you want to describe Kojak to the listeners?
Kojak is a very large black man that kicks the shit out of people.
On your command?
Yes.
That's nice.
Dude, I need one of those.
Well, you got Mike.
Yeah, that doesn't really work out so well. He doesn't fulfill any of those criteria. He's too busy trying to talk his wife out of paint and tile.
Oh, God, Jesus. All right, we'll keep going. After all of that, again, Bullet wins, so the mask will not come off officially. So we don't know if he is Bob Armstrong or not. Well, we go from there. Van Horn, after Bullet wins, does make a quick comment about Cornette, and he says Cornette will be the first throat that Van Horn cuts once his man gets there. I've actually got it queued up if you want me to play it. Did you want to play it?
No, you just said the only thing that I thought was is that he just, you know, that's a good heel move. He likes him and respects him, but everybody's got to go for me to get mine.
Right. He went right after Corny on that one. After that, they go to the next match, which is Rock and Roll Express versus the Armstrongs. To me, I got to be honest, guys, this was the most predictable thing that I knew was going to happen on this show. And it's because you got two babyfaces teams out there. I knew it was going to happen. Unless you make a big U-turn and make one of these teams heels, there's going to be some type of finish that's just screwy. And what do we know? The Heavenly Bodies come out, jump Morton. This leads to a brawl to the dressing room. Mark Curtis counts to 10. So both teams, it's a double DQ. Very much finish. But, Doc, what'd you think?
I thought that spot where they tried to drop kick each other and at the same time was kind of goofy. But, I thought this was what I expected it to be.
Yeah, it was, yeah. Harper, you have anything else from it?
No, it's exactly what, you know, it was very predictable.
I mean, it's two babyface teams. You have to figure that you...
Someone's going to run in.
Well, like I said, unless one of the team flips the script and does a complete U-turn and becomes heels in the match and does something dastardly in the middle of it, you figure it's going to be the Heavenly Bodies fucking it over, and that's exactly what happened. Well, so right after that, though, remember earlier in the show, Bullet was helped by the Rock and Roll when the Rock and Roll ran out and covered his face with a towel. So we got a promo now from Bullet and Rock and Roll Express. Here it is.
Thanks, boys. I really appreciate
you. More than welcome. You know, it don't matter where Jimmy Cornette or the Heavenly Bodies go to. We're tired of them jacking people around, and we're going to be there to put an end to it.
You know, I can understand why my good friend Bob Armstrong had you warriors in his army, because you're fine men, and I appreciate you. You saved me. I'll tell you this, Jim Cornette, this mask will not come off. I repeat, will not come off till Bob Armstrong's name has been cleared.
So there it was. Doc, thoughts on that quick promo?
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
It was basically a recap of what we saw.
Right.
Yeah. Next matchup is the Heavenly Bodies versus the Steiners. Now, I got a feeling we won't get any want, want, want here from Harper. So the Steiners hit the ring with a goddamn pit bull.
Jesus.
Yes, a pit bull named Arnold that they have on a leash. And the Heavenly Bodies are on the run as the Steiners make their entrance. Before we talk about anything with the match, did you have anything just from the entrance, Doc?
Goddamn dog. Yeah, goddamn dog. I'd rather climb a scaffold than have to deal with a wrestler's dog, because it's not a dog, it's a wrestler's dog, and we know what wrestlers do to dogs. So it's mean and ready to bite and mess you up, and the wrestler thinks that's a rib. Nah, I'd rather climb that scaffold.
Yeah. I just had liability.
And then what happens when that dog takes a shit in the corner of the ring?
Yeah.
But I also wondered what the Steiners were thinking being in Smoky Mountains. Like, they had wrestled in small places
in
the 90s, they were wrestling small places for WWF and WCW, but that's still a big company. I wonder what their thoughts were, in all honesty.
I mean, they had been in little towns. Rick did for sure. I mean, he had worked in the towns in Mid-South. I mean, don't get me wrong, Mid-South drew, but early in his career, Mid-South, man, he'd been in small towns, some weird backwoods areas throughout the Mid-South. Maybe Tennessee's a little different, but, you know, he had. Plus, WCW worked in some small buildings. Oh, let's not forget that. WWF did too. Don't let them lie to you.
Yeah. But the thing that I walked away with before the bell rang is, and maybe it's because we've seen them at a WWF pay-per-view recently here, this felt like a big time match.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did.
This had a big match feel to it.
Yeah, they had a decent little build to it all, so it definitely had a nice little big match feel to it. I thought this
and
was
that goddamn dog.
Bruh, so they tease Dr. Time getting bit by the dog who's tied to the corner post at one point. The referee, so I'm waiting for that dog to cut loose and actually get a hold of Dr. Time when that happened. I mean, it just was like, holy shit, man. Is this dog going to bite them? I was like, this is not, like Harper said, liability. So into the match, the referee got bumped at one point. Scott Steiner hit Jimmy Del Rey with the Frankensteiner. Cornette comes in, hits Scott with the racket, though. But Cornette leaves the racket in the ring. And when Mark Curtis goes down to make the three count, on the actual third count that he's about to make, he sees it. He sees the racket on the three count when Del Rey is pinning Scott. This leads to a DQ with the Steiners winning. So Steiners win the match. I thought this was a good match, even though, I mean, the finish wasn't all that great. But, you know, the cheaters got the heels got caught cheating. So good stuff there. Anyway. Good. I thought this was good. I mean, I liked it. Harper, what'd you think?
Dude, that fucking dog. The dog. I kept fucking looking at that goddamn dog. Because I could picture it thinking, okay, this is like when the British Bulldogs had fucking Matilda and the dog would chase fucking Jimmy Hart around a little bit. Ha, ha, ha. No, this dog was like, that dog was going to bite somebody, dude. Its really eyes, was. Not it was a heavenly it was a, bodies.
It was a shoot dog.
Dude, yeah, for real. And I guarantee you, if he would have let go of that leash, it would have darted right to him, bro.
No way, man. I'd rather get up on that scaffold.
Fuck that.
I'm with Doc. Give me the scaffold. Fuck a pit bull.
Yeah.
And that what we saw. Fuck that.
The other thing is, you don't know if this whole crowd has got this dog worked up too, you know?
Right, because they're all hollering and screaming, and they're just throwing gasoline on the fire.
This is a potentially volatile situation.
This is not a good situation, dude.
Yeah.
This is something I don't want to be involved in. And fuck this shit. I would not want a team with a dog telling the dog to sick him. Fuck that.
A fucking pit bull.
Right. Right. Okay. Harper, anything else from the match before we go to the next promo?
No, I mean, like what Doc said, it felt like it was a major league match.
Yeah, it felt like a big deal. It felt like a big deal.
I got a couple of things here.
Go ahead.
Del Rey may be a dirtbag, but he holds his own here with these other three guys that are stars.
Yeah, he does.
And did you hear Corny hit Scott Steiner with that racket?
Yeah.
Whack.
You'd have thought there was a, you know how in basketball they got like the rim mic'd? That's what you'd have, I swore there was a microphone in that tennis racket, pal.
He blacked his ass.
And then more powder at the end. Corny has like an endless supply. Like I have a feeling Corny has like little old ladies filling bags of powder in the back for him. All right, I got to go back out. I need another one. Oh, Jimmy.
Yeah, buddy. Well, after the match, they go to a promo, and it is Jim Cornette and Heavenly Bodies. So let's listen to what they have to say after everything that just went down with the Steiner brothers there.
All right, here they are, fans. Jim Cornette and Heavenly Bodies. What action right there against the Steiners, Jim?
The Steiner brothers, the big superstar Steiner brothers from the World Wrestling Federation. Was it any problem, guys, for you to murder them so easily?
They thought they were going to come to Smoky Mountain Wrestling, bring their big bad reputation, and take care of us. But we just showed them that it doesn't matter where it is in the country, whether you want to come to the Smoky Mountain area or the WWF, we don't have any problems with you. We handled them better than we handled anybody else on the street, didn't we?
Yeah, you're exactly right, cuz. And what about that Snoopy Dogg dog? We kicked him right out of the house.
Let me just say this, Steiner Brothers, you proved one thing. It takes a good team to beat you, but it don't take them long. And I'm going to talk about the Rock and Roll Express for a minute. I can't believe they are so consumed with jealousy, so eaten up with that green-eyed monster, that they have had to follow the Heavenly Bodies all the way to the World Wrestling Federation. You see, we're up there beating up the big boys, getting in line for a World Tag Team title shot, and what happens? The Rock and Roll Express, after all these years of never wanting to go to the World Wrestling Federation, all of a sudden now, they show up. And plain, pure, and simple, it's to keep the Heavenly Bodies from getting what we want up there, just like they're trying to keep us from getting what we want down here. But let me explain something to you, Rock and Roll. I got a little surprise for you, because I've made a few phone calls. I've made a few arrangements, and I've got a tag team coming to Smoky Mountain Wrestling in the next few weeks that's going to take care of Mr. Ricky Morton and Mr. Robert Gibson. This is a team. Wait a minute, Bob Caudle. I'm fixed to tell you, not all of it, but some of it. This is a team that's so wild and so crazy, they've been banned. They've been fined. They've been suspended. They've been denied licenses. They've been denied access to hotels and motels and probably incarcerated. Yeah. They are so crazy, so insane, that nobody wants them around. Guys right up my alley. So they're coming to Smoky Mountain Wrestling, and they're going to wrestle the Rock and Roll Express, or should I say they're going to fight the Rock and Roll Express, and they're going to keep them out of our hair so that we can go to the World Wrestling Federation, we can win the tag team title up there, and when we come back here, there'll be nothing left of Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson, and we'll pick those belts up and cart them off. What do you want?
You're just talking about teams. What about the Bruises?
The Bruise Brothers. Yeah, the Bruise Brothers. I don't often have failures. I'm not even going to say it's a failure. It was just a disappointment. I brought them in here to do a job, and they didn't do the job correctly. And like all you rednecks out there can identify with, when you don't do the job correctly, you get demoted. And that's where the Bruise Brothers are right now. They're still on probation. They're sitting down there, and they're observing the top tag teams to learn what to do.
Jim, I tell you, I got a surprise for you right here.
What?
There's a tag team that has contacted Smoky Mountain Wrestling. They've asked for, and they've received a match against your guys right here next week on television to determine the number one tag team contenders.
Everybody knows we're the number one contenders. Who? What team is it? Who? What's the name?
I don't know that.
You know, you're holding out on me, Carter.
I don't know.
What are you doing, surprising me out here on public television? Let me tell you something. I don't care who. I don't think that this team has any business coming in here to Smoky Mountain Wrestling, where we dominate in our backyard, and trying to demand anything, much less being given a shot at us on television. But I tell you something right now, I keep in contact and I keep track of every top tag team in the sport of professional wrestling. If it was anybody important, I would know about it. I'd know about somebody making a move. Yeah. So come on next week, whoever it is, probably a couple of Johnny Come Latelys trying to make a name for themselves, we'll thump them off, and then we'll have bigger things going on in the future. And Bob Caudle, once again, it's been your pleasure.
Bears, don't go away. We'll be right back.
Idiot.
There's a lot going on here with this one. First off, I figured Jimmy Del Rey was the first one. We kicked that Snoop Doggy Dog, and then he punts him. He makes the action like he's punting the dog. Good stuff. Harper, what did you have from that?
Fuck, a lot, huh? Damn.
Yeah, that's why I said the first part with Del Rey farting around was really great.
Yeah. I'm going to miss him.
You going to miss who?
Del Rey.
Where's he going?
Well, he going, he going nowhere. He's going to be here for a while.
He dies.
Well, after Smoky Mountain is done, but you know. Oh, but this was good. So you get the first thing with Del Rey. Harper, anything else about Del Rey there?
He's fucking great. It was like, I would kick that old Snoopy doggy dog.
I came unglued.
Like these assholes know who fucking Snoop Dogg was back then.
I don't know. Do you think they did, Doc?
No.
I think they did. No?
No.
I mean, that's right when, like, he was, like, that's right when Snoop Dogg was getting big. But yeah. I doubt these assholes knew who the fuck he was.
No.
Assholes. Damn. Doc, anything on Del Rey there?
Del Rey, no. I like the fact that Corny says, other than Snoopy Dogg, that Rock and Roll never wanted to go to the WWF. That's a slight, you know, that's a good line. He does have a new tag team coming in.
Who are they?
They make an impactful entrance. I'll say that.
They sure do.
it borders on criminality.
There might be some sarcasm in there, as I say they sure do.
Yeah. And I don't know what Bob Caudle's talking about on this next week match. I don't think that happens.
I don't remember, but that's a good point because I don't think it does either, but we're going to see.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to see. Okay. Besides Del Rey just, again, doing his thing, lots of teases here of
more
what may be happening. Just like, fuck, now I got to keep watching. I can't go to sleep. It's midnight.
Jesus, I guarantee you this happened. I watched this episode at like midnight because I was trying to get to it to see the Steiners when I was watching this through a year ago. And then I'm like, well, who's showing up next week? Shit, I got to watch it. Next thing I know, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. I got to work tomorrow.
God damn.
Pay me. Yeah. So all of that just, you know, making us want to go watch more. So we get through all of that, and then there is a local promo. I didn't have it queued up, but I'll
put
it to. Okay, I didn't have anything from it either. But then we go from the local promo. This is after Cornette and Heavenly Bodies. There's not another match. We got Darryl Van Horn, and who else? We got Van Horn, Dutch, and Bob. They're about to close out the show. I'm just trying to get it queued up to the exact spot that it starts. So here it is.
That's in a look at our special Parade of Champions program for today. Now, next week,
wait a minute, Caudle. I've sat here and I've talked about other wrestlers and we've listened to ramblings and the verbal effluvia you spew about other wrestlers, but I want to talk about the reason I'm here in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. I've come from the University of Cairo and I will be bringing in a 7-foot-tall, 350-pound Egyptian prince. Now, I just got off the phone with my lawyers from my corporate officers up on the corner of Libido and Cleavage in New Jersey earlier today. They have assured me that the palms have been greased. We've dealt with the consulate. We've dealt with the embassy. It's almost time to bring my prince in. It takes a lot of time and talent. I have the lawyers to do it. In fact, they once got a sodomy charge that gets me busted down the tailgating. However, everybody here needs to pay attention to what I've got going on. This man is a renaissance man, and he will change pro wrestling as we know it. I will do whatever it takes to bring him in, even if it means we have to bump off some of these politicians around here to get him into the country. And in fact, I think I know just the people to take care of that.
You're just shaking your head in agreement.
Well, I agree with everything it says. Fans, tune in next week. Yeah. We're going to see the Heavenly Bodies against a team to be announced. We are going to see Bobby Blaze versus Chris Candido for the U.S. Right. Junior Heavyweight title. Beat the Champ returns next week. And Tammy Fitch makes her reappearance on Smoky Mountain Wrestling next week with Tammy's tips.
All right, fans, that's going to do it for this week. We'll see you next week. And until...
Oh, Darryl Van Horn is at it again, Doc. What do you think?
Dude, that line about sodomy busted down to tailgating was pretty rough.
On the corner of Libido and Cleavage.
Yeah, I didn't like that one as much. I thought it was a little too obvious. But again, he's rapid firing here, so you got to give him a little bit of leeway. It's really a shame that the payoff here isn't as good as what Van Horn's selling it as.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's spitting rhymes, dude. He's going off. He is spitting rhymes. Oh, boy. Harper, what'd you have from it? Anything?
Dude, I just want to see fucking Tammy's tips. That's
how great is, how great is that? They shot fire last week with that thing and didn't bring it back exactly the next week. Man, if I did something that great, I'd be doing it the whole... That's all I would do.
Yeah.
Like, shotting with it.
Right.
Yeah. Anything else from the ending there, Harper?
Well, yeah, you get the his big fucking surprise, and we got this fucking tag team coming. We got more Tammy tips, man. Things are cooking, bro.
Yeah, I think... this was, like we said, this is a recap episode. I won't call it a recap episode. It was
I saw stuff I had never seen before.
No. What I mean is, you don't get the full stuff. They're showing and airing things from the Parade of Champions. So I get what you're saying. You saw stuff that you hadn't seen. I'm not knocking it like that. It was just kind of a different episode. We're not in front of the quote-unquote live crowd. We're showing things that have happened on our tour and Parade of Champions. That's what I meant.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, sure, whatever.
Yeah.
You're an asshole. Disability checks, Doc. What you got?
I went first last week.
I don't give two shits. You went first last week. What you giving?
I can wait.
Well, we'll just sit here for the rest of the day then, because I'm not going first.
That's nice.
Why do you have a problem being wrong in public?
I have no problem being wrong in public. I just love when I go first and then you go, oh, hey, motherfucker, yeah, once again, you're wrong. Just fuck you.
I have the right number written
down.
Well,
go ahead and give it to us then. If you're right, then what's it matter?
Well, I just want to see how wrong you are.
I'm giving it a 10.
Oh, God.
You're insane.
Yeah.
You have lost your mind.
Not giving it a 10. I just threw that out there.
Yeah. You're untethered from reality.
I'm going to pull a Doc right here. I'm going to give this a 8.87. That's the type of shit Doc does. I'm going to give it a 8.872. No, hold on. Let me take that back. I'm going to give it a 8.635. How's that sound, Doc? Go ahead. Now your turn. He's mad. Can dish it out.
I just don't know what you're trying to do here.
Go ahead. I just gave mine. Go ahead.
I want to apologize to the listeners. This is not helping you at all. This is Mike on some tangent. This is what he does.
Can you give the rating, please?
No.
I just gave mine.
You didn't give it a 10.
No, I said I gave it an 8.635.
That's stupid, too.
Okay, what did you give it?
Here's the real number. I gave it a 9.0 last week. I'm giving it a 9.0 this week.
Oh.
I like this show. I didn't have a problem with any of this. I like seeing these recaps. I see Steiners. What's wrong with all that?
Harper, what'd you give it?
I gave it an 8. An 8. This fucking recap shit just kills me, bro. If you're gonna, bro, show me the whole thing, bro. What the fuck? And then there's no Tammy tips, bro. Come on.
Harper got all hot and bothered last week when Tammy's tips aired and Tammy left her snail trail on Tommy Noe's dining room table. And now Harper wants to see the snail trail again. Oh, Jesus Christ. All right, Harper gave it an 8. Doc gave it a 9. I think Doc is out of his fucking mind. I actually had an 8.5, but I wanted to fuck with Doc. That's why I went 8.635, because I knew he was going to say something stupid. Doc, you're out your mind. This is not a 9. This ain't bad, but it ain't a fucking 9. I think of some of the things I've given 9s to, and it was better than this. Okay, you know, we saw the Steiner, so I get it. I understand why you say that. But a 9, Doc? Oh, Jesus.
This promotion.
I do, too. I mean, I wouldn't spend fucking 2.5 hours every other Friday recording with you if I didn't like it. But you know how it goes. Hey, become a patron as we were talking about the disability checks, because we need disability checks. So tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. Get access to the patron-only content that's up. I'm doing like at least one a week now, if not more. We got the world-class shows out there, the pre-shows, and any the podcast recap shows, all kinds of stuff are up on the patrons. Again, you can do it for $2 a month. You can do more. You can do 9. You can do 20. You can do 10, 15, whatever. When you do more than 9, you get a t-shirt after 7 months. So there's that. But, yeah, tinyurl.com/btpatron. Become a patron and get access to all the patron-only content and a chance to come on the show. And then don't forget to use our Amazon referral link. It's tinyurl.com/bttpatron. Government cheese award time is upon us. I'm looking at this, and I'm trying to do it in my mind, but I like Sherry's little line about, let me tell you something, you little bitch.
Yeah.
But I keep coming back with this episode to Jimmy Del Rey. Snoop Doggy Dog comment in his actions with Snoop Doggy Dog. So I'm giving mine to Jimmy Del Rey because that popped me more than anything this week. Harper, who are you going to give yours to?
I'll give mine to the dog.
Okay, the dog. The pit bull?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Fucking pit Arnold gets the government cheese.
That's a good one. Doc, who are you giving yours to?
I'm going in a different direction.
Shocker here. Mr. Fucking... Gotta be ornery and do something different.
So I have to agree with you to be okay. All right.
No.
I see where we're at now.
You purposely do this whenever Harper and I go before you.
No. I have this written down, pal. I have this written down.
Show it to me. Sounds like fake news.
Right. Alternative facts. I'm gonna split the cheese this week with Bobby Blaze and Chris Candido. I thought that watching those three matches was really good, and I liked it.
So, who's getting it then? Bobby or
they're splitting
Candido?
It.
Okay, so all the other episodes where you told me I was being lazy by not picking out the person to give it to is irrelevant now. It's okay to split it.
Well, that was then.
Asking this for is, a friend. No, motherfucker. I'm pointing out your inconsistencies. Because Harper, you know how he does that?
Yeah.
Doesn't he do that sometimes? Well, you guys are just being lazy. You're just gonna you're gonna split it. What you need to do is just decide on one. And now he's
you're mad at me. But in the last 2 weeks, Harper's given the government cheese to Margie and a dog.
I know. Well,
and it's hard to tell which one's which.
That's nice.
Can't stay mad at me when I'm popping those lines, can you, pal?
The dog.
You know what?
This week,
I bet fucking next week she's probably going to get that cheese again.
She might.
I can't remember which one is next week, but she might get it next week too.
Morty needs to get it for eating that chicken.
Oh, wait till we tell that story. Wait till we tell that story on the one where she's what Tammy's trying to teach her how to eat. I don't know if that's next week or not. I can't remember the order of it, but we will tell that one. That was a great one. All right. Jesus Christ. That was good, though, Doc. It was a good episode. I'm not trying to knock the episode at all. It was good. If you haven't done so, check out Harper's shirt. By the time this airs, it should be up on the Pro Wrestling Tees store. So, ladies, the line is to the right. If you want Harper to get paid for doing this show, there it is. Just check out, get his shirt, Pro Wrestling Tees. Go to ProWrestlingTees.com, or you can go to Facebook.com/BookingTheTerritory. Hit the like button, and then if you click the Shop Now button, it'll bring you directly to our Pro Wrestling Tees store. It's there. The Tee Public store, you can find the Docaholic T-shirt there. Doc, your shirts aren't selling. I don't know what to tell you. People don't like
you. What the fuck?
I would like these records audited.
Okay, well, get your attorney.
You realize the business model we've been thrust into here, Harper. If you get a shirt and sell it, I'll give you money, but you get nothing for making this show a success.
Wow.
Harper, you can't claim that.
So why are you paying Harper and not me?
I told you I haven't seen you yet.
Dude, you owe me money. You owe me money, pal.
I don't see him. It's a good thing too, because I wouldn't get any work done if I saw. Well, I know how to get my shit done. That motherfucker, when I was in the office every day, would not leave me alone.
What?
Would
what
constantly come in my office constantly.
I am in important meetings all day long. I have no idea what you're talking about.
You're so full of shit, bro. Let me tell you a little story, Harper, before we go off air.
Uh-huh.
It would be so bad that when Doc's boss was looking for him and he wasn't in his office, he would immediately walk to my office. One day, he walks in there and goes, he knocks and comes in And he goes, oh, I figured you'd be in here. That's how much time that motherfucker used to spend in my office.
Those were planning meetings where we got this show off the ground, dumb fuck.
Okay. Anyway, I'm just telling you what used to happen. Because it's true. It did.
Remember, it was in that office where I told you our second show is going to be Smoky Mountain. Because you wanted to like do alternative something stupid. Facts.
I don't know what you're talking about. You got a recording of that? You got tapes on it?
Oh, okay.
You getting mad over there? He's getting all hot.
Not really. We've been doing this for 2.5 hours. I'm tired of you.
It's time to get out of here. We need more 5-star reviews. Apple Podcasts, go out there, review us, please. 5 stars, or else you'll never get the Broad Logic BTT, or the BTT Broads episode, I should mention. Follow us on Twitter, at @BTT_podcast. I'm at Mike504Saints, Harper's at CJH, who dat. And then lastly, shout out to a couple of new Hall of Fame patrons in the last couple of weeks, at Spyboy Sports Cap, at DR1851, and at Bill Sousa. Thanks for becoming Hall of Fame patrons. Appreciate it. And then I want to shout out the Wrestling Podcast About Nothing. Brian Malone is from ROH. Mike Crockett doing their things every single Monday. Just search WPAN or Wrestling Podcast About Nothing to get their show. There you go. That's it. That's all I got. Doc doesn't have anything else. Harper, hit the tagline and get us the fuck up on out of here for this week.
Fuck it, bitch.